Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Woodward Fail Music Speaks podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your professional handicapped host, James Cox. And some people think I am Scooter from the Muppets, but that's, you know, that's neither or there. Yeah, because I sound like him, you know. So are you ready for some BS? And I'm not talking about that BS. I'm talking about Beautiful Skeletons, which I have the lead singer here with me, and her name is Tina Firefly. And we're going to find out more about that name because it's awesome. So let me tell you about it first. So Tina Firefly is an accomplished and versatile vocalist who has honed her craft for over 15 years. Her extensive experience in a diverse range of music genres, spanning from jazz to metal, has given her a unique ability to connect with audiences from all walks of life. As a lead singer for Beautiful Skeletons, Tina has not only captivated audiences with the powerful vocals, but has also had the opportunity to open for renowned acts such as Invig Malmsteen, Saliva, and The Loyal Order. with a commitment to her art and passion for creating memorable experiences, Tina is a true force to be reckoned with in the music industry. How are you doing, Miss Tina?
That was quite an intro. Thank you.
Hopefully that's all right, because sometimes, yeah, you know, I get them from Wikipedia and they're not right. Oh.
Yeah. If that's what's in Wikipedia about me, then we're on track.
Right.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having us on.
You're welcome. So your name is Tina Firefly.
Yep.
And I kind of want to think that's not your actual last name.
No.
Okay.
It's a stage name for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because I remember, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you were like me, you used to get outside and chase fireflies, right? Is that where the name came from?
No, actually, oddly, in the first couple bands that I ever had, I had a stalker in, so I ended up changing my name for it's best practice anyway. I've never seen a firefly, believe it or not. I was born and raised on an island. We don't have fireflies there. But I always wanted to name one of my projects Zombie Firefly. And I don't know, just one day I was sitting around trying to figure out, you know, some sort of stage name. And it just popped into my head, Tina Firefly. But yeah, oddly, no one's ever asked me if I've ever seen a firefly. I have not.
Really?
Really.
They run rampant in good old Virginia, because I live all over the world. Well, I live in the Philippines, Virginia, Florida, you know, because my dad's a retired colonel in the Air Force.
Yeah.
So I remember at nighttime in Virginia, there used to be a whole lot of fireflies just lighting up the dark sky, and like, it's great, you know.
That's a bucket list thing for me. I would love to see that personally.
Really? Well, go to Virginia, you know, they're rampant over there. Yeah, so.
Awesome.
So where are you located now? I mean, like, where are you?
Yeah, so we're actually out of the Pacific Northwest, sort of like in the Vancouver, Washington area. And I always have to kind of like explain, not Vancouver, Canada, not Vancouver, BC, Vancouver, Washington. So Pacific Northwest, we're on the West Coast. We love it here.
Well, okay, go. Yeah, because I'm in the East Coast. Mm. And sometimes, I'm in South Carolina, and hardly no big bands come to South Carolina, so I have to go to.
Really?
Yeah, it's few and far between. But Gwar is coming over here in July, so I'm going to see Gwar.
Oh, those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
I got to meet them like 20 years ago. We opened for them. I was in like a goth industrial band in Portland at the time, and. I was so scared to meet them I was so scared. I was like, who are these guys? I didn't know who they were. I didn't know what they would be like. And they were like the sweetest guys ever. They were like, come back and smoke some weed. And I was like, oh my God, really?
Yes. You're like, who's going to say no to Gwar smoke weed, right?
They were just the nicest guys. Yeah. And they saw how nervous I was. And they were just like, went out of their way to like be really nice to me, which I thought was awesome.
I saw Gwar in 2007, I believe. I think that was their Beyond Hell tour. That was the best show ever. I don't care who you are. They put on a banger of a show, you know.
So. Those guys kill it. And they kill it when they're not comfortable. I mean, it looks cool as shit. You know it's not comfortable, right? So it's like, respect.
big time. Because sometimes in those costumes, it gets hotter than you know what.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to talk. Okay, so before I ask you about your whole career right here, I got to know a couple of things. So I always ask, who do you like more between which band? I'm going to give you two bands and you say, who do you like more?
Okay.
So I'm always curious about these four bands. You know, I'm going to put them head to head. Okay, so we got the Deftones or Incubus.
Ooh.
Yeah,
That's hard, dude. Okay, who do I like more? Just like overall sound, or are we talking about like music in general?
Broad range, you know.
Okay, so I'm gonna say Incubus.
Okay,
let me tell you that's a painful decision because I love both bands.
I loved it, yeah.
But I'm going to say Incubus, and that's probably because I listened to Incubus more growing up than I did the Deftones. And really because I was just very obsessed with singing along with Fungus Among Us, which was probably my favorite Incubus album. And the tone of their lyrics, the way that he writes his lyrics, I always kind of aspire to. Like, there's two main sources, Maynard and then the gentleman that writes for Incubus. And they both have a very similar style, which I really respect. They tell a story with a general theme that fits anybody's life, which I think is great.
I think we have somebody here with us. It's our, it's Einar, the guitarist. Is that it?
Yeah.
He's here. I can bring him in.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Bring him in. All right,
well, let me get rid of this. Hey!
Hey, there he is.
How you doing? I did not expect you, but welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. I can barely hear you guys.
Oh.
Yeah, are you in a car right now?
Yeah.
It's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Slightly.
All right.
I'll probably end up turning my camera off here in a little bit because I'm going to drive.
Okay. All right.
So Einar might just be lurking. I don't know if he's
pretty much.
Fine. So I just asked Tina if which band does she like more, Deftones or Incubus? Which one do you rock with the most?
Oh, Deftones.
I knew he was going to say that.
Absolutely.
Not that
I don't like Incubus, and they've got some really good tunes, but just definitely more drawn towards the Deftones sound.
Yeah. But I do know that Incubus tickets like fly off the shelf, you know, within like 30, 40 minutes, you know.
Do they? Oh, yeah. Damn.
Big time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So the second question for y'all is either. Now this is the most asked question, and I want to know from y'all, Megadeth or Metallica? You bring it back to the old school, right?
Yeah. Oh my lord, Megadeth or Metallica? Go first. You I want to hear what your answer is.
Megadeth.
Why?
I had a chance to see Megadeth in 1987. A few years after Dave Mustaine had left Metallica. So he's kind of the underdog. And I don't know, I was just more drawn towards his aggression. Even though, you know, Metallica is, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Metallica fan and always loved them. But, Mustaine was just a little edgier, a little bit faster. He was angrier. And I was kind of, I was a teenager at the time and I was angry too.
Angrier. I love it. Tina, how about you?
I'm going to out myself here. People are going to hate me and unfollow me. I don't like either band.
Okay, yeah. But that's fair enough. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let me,
just from a singer's perspective, I never got into either. Yeah. But then again, I come from a slightly different generation, right? So like, by the time I came into the scene listening to Megadeth and Metallica, everyone was arguing about Napster and peer-to-peer software. So I kind of just automatically was like, well, why is Metallica throwing such a stink about this? I can't afford to buy their Why do they care if I fucking download an MP3? You know what I'm saying? So that's the first time I ever even heard of Metallica. And then when I came to the U.S., to the actual continental U.S., then I started hearing about Megadeth. And I don't know, just neither band really caught on with me.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to get death threats here after this.
No, you're not. We love you. We still love you even though you're wrong.
Even though I'm misguided.
Right, yeah. But for me, it was always Metallica when I was like 16, 17. And then in the later years, it's always been Megadeth. Not for better, for consistency. You know, they release an album every year or every 2 years, whereas Metallica, 5-6 years, we have to wait, and that just drives me wild. I don't understand. Tina said Incubus, and she doesn't like any Metallica or Megadeth, you know, which is, I guess that's fine. I don't know. So, we'll let this ride here, you know. So, all right. So the first song I want to, back up. Okay, so Tina, I want to talk to you about your voice. Your voice is totally amazing. And yes, I agree with him. Is it pronounced Einar?
Pronounced Einar.
Einar, okay, I'm so sorry about that. I'll,
you know, no, I'm sorry.
That's great. I just laughed.
Yeah, so Einar agrees with me, and I think the majority of the people who check out your music is going to agree with me that your voice is truly amazing, right? So, did you know that your voice that you could? I mean, like, did you practice with your voice, or did it just come naturally for you to sing like this?
Oh yeah, no, I was an ugly duckling for music. Like I played piano, violin, and all these instruments growing up, but I couldn't sing with until high school, I want to say. I was a late bloomer for singing. And I don't know if that's just like I got my voice in late or what, but yeah, it really wasn't until then that I started realizing, you know, like I would rather sing and play. And then that went from singing and playing to I would just rather sing, period, right, and just concentrate on that. So yeah, I mean, it was late in life, but it definitely came right around that time. As far as like screaming and growling, those are all things that I had to teach myself as a kind of evolutionized as a musician.
So how long did it take you to learn how to growl like that?
I would say even in our, like, he's seen like the evolution of my like dirty voice or whatever as we started, and I've always been a huge fan of Ginger and Kitty and some of these females that like pave the way for the rest of us kind of trying to find that niche where we can also do the same thing. I would say since I started Beautiful Skeletons maybe about 5-6 years ago now, I've really made like a very focused effort to scream and growl properly and work that into the dynamics of my current range. And it's been difficult, but I'm finally falling to a groove now where I've kind of like naturally figured out how to do a lot of the lower stuff, you know. So it gets better over time, but I'd say in the last 4 or 5 years, I've really like honed in on it.
Yeah, that's so. You said you taught yourself, right? So I guess so anybody can learn how to sing. It just takes time and practice, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I get that all the time. Like, oh, I never sang. My voice is terrible.
Yeah.
And like,
right, yeah.
You know, the reality is like most people think that because they haven't spent enough time listening to a recording of their voice. Mm. Everybody who records their voice is like, oh, that's what I sound like. You know, everyone gets all freaked out by it.
Yeah.
And then that's the biggest obstacle for anyone who's like recorded themselves. They're like, oh, I don't want to hear myself. You just have to get over that and just keep listening and listening and listening until you're okay with the sound of, you know, your own voice. And then from there, it's up to you whether you want to like sort of figure out where you are as far as pitch goes and all of that good stuff. Yeah.
So Einar, let me ask you some questions here too. So you are a great guitarist because I listen to most of your songs. I love the song Power Driver. That's amazing. No, dude, you know.
He does good.
He's like a so-so. No, but dude, Power Driver is like one of the best songs I think from y'all because I love the drum intro. That's great. And it collaborates with the guitarist Slowell, which is you, you know. So how long did you play the guitar for, or like did you find it in like school or something?
I started playing guitar when I was about 14. Okay. Started playing drums before that. I did that for a while. I still play drums today, but not nearly as much as I play guitar. But it was, you know, just gravitated towards music, and you know, the guitar just kind of, you know, you land on what you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
You know, I never really learned, never really stopped learning. You know, there's never that moment of, oh yeah, I've mastered this. It's like, no, there's a lot left to, you know, master, and you know, just the music keeps rolling out of me, so
yeah.
As long as I'm having fun, I'm good.
There's not enough time in the day. Like the moment that we play, I mean, we could sit down and write like a million new songs a week. It's insane. We have to like put a schedule ahead of time. Like, no, we're not jamming today. Like, right. We can't write anything else right now.
Right, right, yeah. So I read in the little bio that you opened for Ingrid Malmsteen. So the beautiful skeleton that opened for him.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Nice. So Einar, how many questions did you ask him about the guitar?
Oh, none.
None? Really?
Nope. No, it was an honor to be, you know, part of his, that experience. And I didn't really ask any questions directly related to anything.
Yeah.
I think we talked to him for 2 minutes at the very end of the tour. We pretty much went because there was us in another band, and so I mean it was tour. It was like go, and we were all just really focused on making sure that our performances were good. And it really wasn't until the very last show that we were able to actually go in and meet him, shake his hand and stuff like that. It was fairly brief. And really he didn't say much, but.
Yeah. Cause like, I kind of got that vibe from him. Cause a lot of people saying he's not a nice guy, but then again, I mean, it's time and place. I mean, come on now, you know, everybody can't, a lot of bands forget that.
He's so good. You know, I mean, he has a routine for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I do recall, I mean, that you know, he was watching the opening bands and you know, he could tell that you know, he enjoyed it, and he made some comments to Tina and, you know, gave her some compliments and that was for me. I mean, that was the thumbs up.
Cherry on top.
But yeah. You know, we're not getting thrown off the tour. And,
I would have talk about Saliva sometime, and I've read that you were found and signed by the drummer Paul Crosby. Now, was that before or after y'all toured with them?
So we didn't tour with Saliva. We just opened. They had a local show that took place here in Portland, which is just right around the corner from Vancouver, Washington. So we opened for them that night, along with a couple other local openers. But actually, before that is when we had signed a management deal with Paul. And I think by the time that we actually opened for Saliva, Paul had actually stepped away from Saliva to start the management role that he was just coming into. So they actually had a different drummer that night. I think we inked the deal with him somewhere in like 2019, 2020, or like when was that, 21, 22?
That show was in 2022.
22, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, fairly new.
Yeah, and at the time he had just stepped away from that band to focus on his management.
Right, and I guess y'all are the first ones for him to sign, or has he been doing this since?
No, I think he's been doing it for a while. I think we were like three or four on his roster at that point. He's got more people now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think at the time there was like maybe four or five groups that we were aware of that we reached out to just to kind of get a feel.
Okay. I also like love the song "Letters to a Narcissist."
That is our new song.
We all met a narcissist.
Oh yeah.
So I want to know if this was like from a personal point of view, or it's just like a common,
So it's important for me as a singer when I write, because I generally write all the lyrics. It's important for me to be able to draw from personal experience, but I tend to try and generalize the message so it's not super specific. I want the person who's hearing it to go like, oh, that is that for me? Did you guys write this song about me? You know, yeah. I want people to hear it and relate to it and make it fit their situation. So yes, it was based on a specific set of events and a specific set of people who I will not name. But it doesn't matter really ultimately who inspired it, because we all know at least several people like that in our daily lives. So I just need it to be like the anthem for people who recognize that that personality type exists. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Agreed. Yeah, because I think that we've all run across one of these people within our lives, and they can take our mental health and like draw it down, you know. So we need music to bring it back up, you know. And that's that's where y'all come in. So it's good stuff, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So as the woman to beautiful skeletons, how has your identity as a female lead singer to evolve over the years? And what unique challenges and opportunities has the role presented to you?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Over the years, I've struggled with different things as a front woman versus a front man. I mean, there are some people who are on very specific sides of this issue. There are some women that are like, absolutely, like, female fronted is not a genre. I don't want to identify as it. There's no point in, you know, trying to be in its own special category. And then there are those that are like, this is a marginalized section of fronts people, and we should try to put that in front of most people who are noticing. Yet. And I kind of fall in the middle of that. I do feel like it's underrepresented. There's lots and lots of wonderful fronts women who maybe don't make it in front of enough people. But I also think it has more to do with marketing and drive. The actual music that you're producing, are you any good? Because just because you have boobs doesn't mean that you have a great voice and that you can perform. Right. So, I mean, I feel like all those things influence it. And I personally have struggled, like, from a self-identity perspective about, you know, how is it that, sorry, my son's calling.
That's fine.
How is it that I'm, you know, like, how do I compete against all these other front women who I feel like are these like knockout, gorgeous Amazonian women, 6'8", you know, like we're talking like arch enemy, you know, and some of these just insanely gorgeous girls. And I always pit myself against that. I always compare myself. And I think that's not really a front woman thing, it's just a woman thing, you know, like, so I do struggle with what I look like sometimes. I'm always bitching about the fact that I wish I could just throw on some pants and a shirt and a plaid jacket and just get up there with zero makeup and just kill it. And sometimes I do, but a lot of times I do feel like I need to get more like gussied up. I do need to like stand out. I do need to put on my stupid false eyelashes and all this other shit. So right. It's a role that evolutionizes with time. And as I become more confident in what I'm doing, it's kind of hit or miss if I'm going to care about makeup that night. I don't know, yeah. You know, but I don't know. The guys have a different perspective on it. I've met a lot of fans who are just like, I just enjoy listening to the dynamics of female vocals in metal. It's not necessarily about like giving women more time in the spotlight. There's people who just prefer having a dynamic range.
Right. Well, I want to get Anar's opinion on this too, because I think that the majority of people now like welcome women to be the front of a band, because I love y'all guys, you know, Beautiful Skeletons. I love Arch Enemy. I love Maria Brink in this moment. I mean, but me, I just love the female voice better than the male voice. I don't know, like, you know, so.
And I hear that a lot from people who specifically seek out metal bands with a female frontwoman. Some people just prefer to have the dynamics and sound, and I get it. So, I mean, for those people, hey, I'm here.
yeah. So, Anar, what are your thoughts about bands that have a female front instead of a male voice?
I don't know. For me, I guess it's just kind of falls into the same melting pot. I don't know. I really don't see it as like a separate genre, like Tina was saying, or you know, competition. And I get it. You know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, metal is metal, and that's for, you know, you need to have a guy up there. But then you got, you know, Tina does a great job of going back and forth from just, you know, kick ass, you know, quality singing, and then, you know, next thing you know, she's growling at the storm. It's like, whoa, look at that.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a really good balance, because I think I tend to gravitate more towards the singing part of it. I think it complements the our sound. But you know, at the same time, you know, I'm just as big of a fan of Ginger and Spirit Box, and you know, Hailstorm is one of my go-tos right now. And you know, by the end, you know, when you look at female, you know, fronted music groups, you know, look at Heart. You know, one of my favorites going back to the 80s, and you know, they're still going at it.
Yeah, because I totally forgot about Spirit Box, and sure, you can. I think your name is Courtney, right?
Courtney, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man, she's huge. Great. Yeah,
I mean, I just she's bucket list for me.
I really got into your music when a friend told me about her, because I did not know about anything about Spirit Box until I found her through a friend, and I'm in love, you know.
Yeah,
she's great.
And I'm gonna tell you the one thing I love about Courtney. I mean, other than how talented she is, I mean, you could put on one of her live shows and she's like running out there in tennis shorts and a shirt and sneakers, or you could tune into a live show and she's out there in like jeans and like, you know, like mom jeans and socks and just like whatever the hell she threw on, because tour life is rough. And I really respect that about her. She doesn't have to get like totally done up and just be like absolutely dressed to the nines every time she comes out to play. And I, like I said, that's one of the things that I struggle with. So I really love when I see front women do that, where they're either going to be like smoking hot when they come out, if they feel like, you know, dressing themselves up, but they're also comfortable going out in just normal clothes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, because I mean, it's their decision whether they want to come out looking, you know, dressed up or just like you say, mom jeans, you know. Nobody's perfect, you know. But you did mention something that I want to talk to you about, tour life. Do you all have a van that you pile in, or do you have like an actual bus?
Well, the goal one day is to get a bus.
Right. Yeah.
We don't currently have one. I hope one day that's different. We do have a trailer, and we've done a couple tours. The first one we did with Thing Bay, we actually did the bus thing. The second one we did the truck. He's actually driving right now, plus the trailer with all the gear. That was pretty rough. Yeah. So we've done it both ways, but we don't really have a dedicated vehicle necessarily to it. And I think it really depends on like where we end up going, and then for how long, and who we're going with. Tour bus prices are astronomical these days, and I get it, because the cost of gas is insane. And then if you don't get in the beginning of touring season before all of the big guys start renting out all the tour buses for the summer, then you're kind of stuck with whatever's left over.
Right. So, who has the dirtiest laundry at the end of the week? I bet you're never out
there. Literally or figuratively?
Let's go with literally.
No.
I bet the most guys do, right?
I would probably say that, like, maybe Jason. He's not on Jason. Here, but he'll watch this. Jason's our bass player.
Okay.
And he also is a gym rat, too. So, I'm going to say that he probably has.
Well, I mean, if you go to gym, you obviously got to.
Yeah.
Kind of sweat it out, right? And I guess, I guess washer and dryer machines are few and far between on the road.
Listen, loves truck stops in general. Like, totally your friend as a touring musician. You got showers, you got food, you got, I mean, like laundry, all of that.
Right, which is great. All right, so speaking of tours, long tours can take a toll on physical and mental health, which is what we talk about here. What do you do to stay healthy and energized during extensive tours?
Anar, you want to go first on that? What do you do to stay healthy and energized for tours?
Yeah, especially on your mental health.
Oh, God. Sleep is so important. Getting good quality sleep. For me, that's a priority. And just having that alone time, just kind of, you know, whether it's after a show or before, to have, I don't know, I need that. I get overly stimulated if there's too much stuff going on. Usually before a show, there's tons of stuff going on. You know, and eating healthy, that's key. On the road, it's easy to gravitate towards corn dogs and burritos. You know, but I think, like, when we went on the road with Yngwie, we did a lot of planning, and we had, you know, a fridge and a cooler, and we're able to bring fresh fruit, oatmeal, and you know, live relatively healthy.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of stuff like that you can't avoid because you're just in a hurry or there's nothing else that's around that's open by the time you're out and you can actually, like, leave the bus or your vehicle and go find some food. If you're lucky, the venues have food, but generally the venue food's going to be, like, pizza, bar food, or whatever. And after some time, you're just like, yeah, I don't need any of that. I need a salad or a steak or rice, teriyaki. I mean, like,
Yeah, go, but nothing beats the breakfast champion, like a frozen burrito.
Right.
Man, yeah. I love those frozen burritos, you know?
Well, and we all have different issues. Like, I would never try to eat anything that had beans right before, you know, I don't want to be, like, dropping the guys behind me. You know, so I got to think, like, we have to think about that stuff. Like, what we know is going to irritate our stomach right before we go on. Or, you know, on a bus, you don't have really the ability to go to the bathroom. I mean, you do, but definitely you want to try and go somewhere else if you can. So, I mean, those are the little things that you really don't think about when you're on tour. You're like, ooh, I just had this burrito. Now I need to take a massive shit and I'm farting up a storm. And everyone is, like, hating on me right now because they can't escape my burrito farts.
Oh, well. And I was like, yep, that's true.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, oh, whatever. Okay, so let me ask you about this. So this is the second record label that you've been on with Wormhole Death label. Is that correct?
Technically.
So Wormhole Death, is that like a mostly independent? Because, you know, for me, I mean, I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, it's actually, they're a fairly long established label. They're kind of like, I want to say, like, more like a stepping stone, like, definitely not necessarily like fully independent, but not major label either, which we wanted something in the middle like that. They're based out of Italy, but they have an office in LA, and then they have an office in Japan, and they have contacts everywhere. So, I mean, the first label that we were with was technically a label that was created for distribution through Paul. And so, essentially, when that was done, we were kind of thinking about, okay, do we want to go with a label? Like, and we sort of were thinking that after a while, we would probably try to have him shop us to some labels. But Wormhole actually reached out to us. They headhunted us. Yeah, they saw Kraken, I guess, and some other things, and they reached out to us. And, you know, bands get so much spam these days. So I was like, I don't know. This looks but then after sort of following the chain and seeing if it was legit, I was like, oh, this is legit. Yeah, and that's how that started. I was, like, shocked. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, we sent the information to Paul, and then he kind of helped facilitate that whole thing.
I wonder what your thought process was creating the name for it. Worm the Whole Death.
That's not I a have very, no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of like, I don't know about this label, but we'll check it out and see.
It's a cool name. Yeah, I'm not sure where it came from.
Right, yeah. So all right. So we have one more question and this is to both of you. This is probably the hardest question I have for you all today, which is the majority of the responses that I get for past musicians. An artist, band, or song that you can think of that you can hear right now, but you can't tell me, Einar, or anybody how it makes you feel deep inside your soul.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's heavy. Okay, let me make sure I understood that. An artist, song, or band that touches my soul.
And you can't tell me or Einar how it makes you feel deep inside. It's so ingrained in you. And the same question goes for Einar. So I don't know who wants to go first.
So
I don't know. What do you think? Mine's a one.
Can I say the short band name? Or do you want me to say like the song name?
You can say anything you want. It's open end. Yeah, it's a totally open end.
Okay. Well, this is going to be really weird, but Yentl by Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
That song is probably one of the first songs that I ever heard that I was like, dude, I want to sing like that. Which is really weird now that I'm doing an interview for a metal band. But
right.
one of my earliest influences was Barbra Streisand, believe it or not. Yeah, when I heard Yentl, that was, I don't know, it's weird. That was the song that I was like, dude, I want to sing this song. And every time I hear it now, it just makes me think about like the younger me realizing that, you know, no matter what my parents said, I really wanted to just be a musician. So. How about you, Nar?
Yeah.
I'll give you one guess.
Megadeth.
Oh, close.
I really don't know.
No, I think the one band that it's continuously, you know, if you got to ask yourself the question, is like, okay, if you got to narrow all the bands that you like down, you know, if you had to choose one CD or one artist to listen to for the rest of your life, Alice in Chains, you know, hands down.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Nutshell is one of my, you know, I think it's such a powerful song. You know, and it's all in the eyes of the listener, basically, how you interpret that song. But just the emotion in the writing and just the arrangement of the song, I think it's just brilliant because it's so simple. But with the harmonies and the, you know, just the simplicity of an acoustic guitar and a little bit of electric, I'm just drawn to that. So Jerry Cantrell, all the way.
Yeah, yeah, because Nutshell is the number one song I get from like the majority of Alice in Chains fans. It's like that's it, you know. I mean, and that's it, you know. But yeah. Yeah. So I totally get it. And Jerry Cantrell is a very nice guy because I met him twice and he was all right. You know, he was like, yeah, sure, we can take a picture, you know.
That's so awesome.
Extremely nice. Because yes. I saw him with, I haven't seen him with Lane. I saw him with William Duvall and they killed it on with him.
So I did get a chance to see the original lineup in 93.
Really?
Yes. Wow. At the Salem Armory. It was, it was amazing.
Yeah, they put on a great show. Long show. They went on for 3 hours, but I didn't care because it was Alice in Chains. Yeah. You know, I mean, come on now.
So. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So that's our last question for y'all. And for anybody who is listening to the show right now, you can visit Beautiful Skeleton at YouTube, Instagram. I think you're on TikTok, correct?
Yes, TikTok. Okay.
Do you understand TikTok? Because I'm not understanding TikTok at all.
You don't understand TikTok?
I'm 44 and I'm still trying to figure that out, you know?
I like TikTok. I like TikTok. I just like the, you know, like every American, I just like this super quick consumable content.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, it's hard to get like 15 seconds of what I want to say. And now the majority of people's attention spans are so low, you know. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's all weird. It's all new to me. But I love Instagram. Instagram's great. Speaking of Instagram, you can go to Billet Beautiful Skeletons Band and look them up. They got amazing videos on their YouTube channel, Beautiful Skeletons Band. And you're on Facebook. And there are a lot more other platforms, right?
Yeah, pretty much everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, Google, what else? BeautifulSkeletons.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. I mean, look it up. We literally try to permeate everything so it's easy for people to find us.
You know, it sounds like you're overtaking the world.
I hope so.
Which is great. Which is awesome, dude. Yeah, so hard. Yeah, we honestly thank you for coming back on. We always welcome you to come back on the show.
Thank you.
When you want to talk about music again, you know, just hit us up. And
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having us on today.
And for everybody else that's listening, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.